Well, good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here with you. My name is Paul. I know a few of you, but not many, not all of you. And it's lovely to be here. John invited me to be here. Obviously, he couldn't be here today, and I jumped at the chance. And I'm twiddling my thumbs, you see. So it's good to be able to have something to do. And yes, actually, for those who don't know, it's kind of close to the truth a little bit. I actually recently stood down as the vicar in the neighbouring parish of Northland and Wilton, whichever direction that is. Sorry, that way. I'm in the Northland. I'm not used to Wadestown. And so my family and I, family here today, Catherine, Charlotte, and Naomi. We've been there 7 years, and so I've just recently stepped down a couple of months ago from that opportunity and that wonderful season that we've had there. And it's been a really rich season, 7 years at St. Anne's. And it's one of those seasons where, I suppose, I'm not sure you do this as well, but just a season where you just throw everything at it. Everything for us as a family was revolved around the church and the community. That has shaped all of our life for the last 7 years. We were deeply invested and deeply committed. It was a fruitful season where we saw God answer many prayers, and we're very thankful to God for that. And at the same time, as there is within any situation and season in our life, there were challenges and struggles as well to overcome. It certainly wasn't boring. It was a good 7 years. But finishing up at St. Anne's has been a big change for us as a family. And in many ways, a big loss. Primarily, we no longer have a faith community that we belong to anymore. A community who we journeyed with through the ups and the downs. A community who we did mission with. These people we worked alongside, sharing faith, hope, and love with our community. Every day for 7 years, I prayed with these people, and we prayed for that community. And as the leader, my heart and mind was always had a space that held these people. And so that's been my season for the bit. So coming now with nothing, it feels like, it's been an odd place to be, because most of the time you may be familiar with my colleagues and probably any profession, as clergy at least, I have nothing to go on to. I haven't gone on to another position, which is usually the common thing to do. You go on to the next parish or the next place, but I've gone on to nothing, it seems. God seems to be working in that way. I was just basically being faithful to where I felt he said the season has come to an end. Not sure what's next, but this one's come to an end. So I finished up at St. Anne's not knowing what is next. And I've been in that place for the last few months. And adding to that, my family's future is a bit up in the air too, as we have been waiting the last several months to see if my wife's work will take us overseas to live for a few years. And we're not sure if that's going ahead or not. So it makes me wonder if you have been in a position like this before yourself, where something significant in your life has finished or ended, and that the new normal or the next stage of life hasn't arrived or become clear yet. You sit in this limbo space, like a plane in a holding pattern. You're waiting to land, waiting to have permission to move on to the next thing. This is known, as you may be familiar with, is known as a liminal space, a transition space, a space that sits between the old and the new. And as we look more widely into our nation and our world, it too has been going through a liminal space. There was our life before COVID. Everything's dated now, isn't it, of COVID. Oh, that was pre-COVID. Okay, so that must have been at least years ago. Life before COVID and the pandemic. But we're still figuring out what life post-pandemic looks like and feels like. And yes, some things have gone back to normal. Some things have kind of normalized to some degree. But much of life is still up in the air. It's a bit like one of those snow globes You know, those little ones who shake. And it's like someone's been shaking the world right now, and we're still waiting for those snowflakes to drop and to settle. We're not quite sure what it's going to look like. The future is still a bit foggy, misty, unknown. What will the future look like? And as Bishop Justin has raised a number of times in some of his talks over the last year or two, the pandemic just accelerated what was already happening in our society. For example, churches have been in a liminal space for a while now, wrestling and questioning what it means to be church today in this culture. Things have changed over the last few decades, we may be known. A lot has changed over the last several decades, even just a few decades. What will the future look like for the church? Liminal spaces aren't new, and they certainly aren't new to the people of God. In fact, liminal spaces make up some of the key moments in our faith history. Our familiar reading this morning from Exodus is the well-known Ten Commandments. But the backdrop of this scene, the backdrop of these passages, is the wilderness. God has rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt and have been promised a new land. However, they sit in this in-between space, don't they, in the wilderness. They've been rescued from slavery, but the promised land has not yet arrived. They wait in the wilderness. And it's in the wilderness, in this liminal space, where the people of God begin to complain, don't they? They begin to complain. Oh, we would have been better to go back. Oh, where's our food? Da, 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 da. All these complaints start rumbling up. They start to get impatient. Maybe even question if God is on their side anymore. And that's the reality and impact of liminal spaces on all of us. They can be really hard. And quite often we start experiencing a number of these D words, of which a number I have experienced lately. We feel disorientated. Our normal bearings are not there any longer. We can feel disconnected, as some of our relationships, maybe our family or friends, or even our physical location may have changed or even gone. We can then start to feel disenchanted. We can start to doubt. We can end up feeling disillusioned and maybe even depressed. So I wonder, what liminal spaces do you recognize in yourself, or maybe around you, in others, or in the places we live and move? The other significant wilderness experience in our scriptures is obviously where Jesus was tempted by Satan. Not 40 years like the Israelites in the desert, in the wilderness, but 40 days. This was also a liminal space. A new season was about to come for Jesus. Jesus was about to start his ministry, yet in this in-between his life, in between his life of Nazareth and what would become his nomadic life and journey to the cross, Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. This time in the wilderness would shape and prepare him for what would lie ahead. And although this was not the only thing, something did happen in the wilderness that allowed Jesus to fulfill his calling, his mission. Something happened in the desert, the wilderness, in that liminal space. As our gospel passage that I read out alludes to, Jesus, depicted as the landowner's son in our parable, he would be killed and would become the stone, the cornerstone. Jesus embraced his time in the wilderness. He did not avoid it or run away from it. He walked into it and through it, trusting in the Father and being led by the Spirit. This allowed him somehow to have the insight and awareness required to know where he was and what was happening. He understood what was happening and where he was. Our own wilderness experiences are quite often disorientating, and all those other D words. They can genuinely be hard and challenging. And in my experience, sometimes everything in us wants to fight it or flee from it. It's uncomfortable. These wilderness experiences, these liminal spaces, seem to be, every part of us says, we need to avoid them at all costs. Let's not be there. This is not a good place to be. We want to avoid them at all costs because they can often feel painful and uncomfortable. And much of our society has created a world where we don't have to experience them anymore. If you think about it, almost any area of life that feels painful or uncomfortable, there is a solution to overcome it. Even simply waiting for something is not necessarily almost. There's an app for that. There's a service now provided for that. Waiting is either much less time required or not even required at all. Waiting, I don't need to wait. Boop, I'll download it now. One of my favorites is Kindle. You know, that's pretty cool because I can get my book straight away. I'm quite impatient. I don't want to wait a week for my book to arrive or something, or walk down to the shop to push the button on my Kindle. I can read it within minutes. And it's cheaper. It's no wonder then when big liminal moments come, when times of wilderness are upon us, that we can feel ill-equipped to handle them or even not even recognize them. Yet when we look at Jesus' wilderness experience, not only did he face it and endure it, one could argue that this liminal moment was actually necessary. One of the hardest things to recognize and learn is that liminal spaces can be places of growth and transformation. Places of growth and transformation. St. Paul, of whom authored our epistle reading this morning, that letter to the Philippians, experienced a unique and transformational moment, you may recall. He used to be a different person, didn't he? Not Paul. He was called Saul. And speaking about his previous life in our passage this morning from verse 4, right at the beginning of that passage, he writes, referring to that previous life, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteous under the law, blameless." That was his previous life as Saul, that persecutor of the church. Yet, on the road to Damascus, as we recall, we read in the book of Acts, he fell to the ground on the road. And the Lord appeared to him and confronted him. "Saul, Saul," we read, "why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. And then when Saul got up and opened his eyes, he could not see anything. He was blind for 3 days. Imagine this moment of darkness, not being able to see at all. How disorientated would you feel? Yet by being carried along by his friends and guided by Jesus, they eventually got to where they were heading. And there Ananias prayed for him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and something like scales fell from his eyes. He was transformed. A new life in Jesus had begun. This liminal space of blindness, even though short, it must have been intense. But it was also transformational. Saul came out the other side with a new identity, a new name, Paul, and would go on to be one of the most significant Christian leaders in history. So if you feel you are in that place this morning, Or you may know someone who is. A place of disorientation, a place of blindness, a place of wilderness. Then St. Paul, someone who has come through that experience and continued on in his faith, even though he continued to experience great challenges and struggles, has words of hope and life for us today. And he reflects, as he's reflecting on his previous life, as he reflects on what is important in life, he says these words in our reading this morning. He writes, and hear the passion in his voice. Hear the absolute commitment to Jesus in his voice. Hear that, even though life is hard and tough, hear these words this morning that Paul writes. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For Paul, nothing compares to the beauty and love of Christ. And he goes on to say, again, this passion starts to come out. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I am attain the resurrection from the dead. Then there's this beautiful statement. This is what caught me when I was reading this and reflecting on. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul was recognizing and seeing that Jesus had reached out, touched him on the road to Damascus, picked him up, and transformed his life. Jesus' love had transformed his life and now made him his own. He belonged to Jesus now. And so nothing else compares. And Paul continues, Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul calls on us today, no matter our circumstances, where we find ourselves, to press on. Keep running the race of faith. Let the beauty and love of Christ compel you forward. Know that Jesus has already reached out to all of us and made us his own. So no matter what's happening, press on towards Christ. Let his love compel us forward. Amen.